Welcome, everybody. Sorry for being a few minutes late. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. Welcome to the Nightly Share. Welcome to Mordechai Platzer's recap on Parshas Noach and forward-looking Torah themes and thoughts on Parshas Lech Lecha. So this Shabbos, I was zochet to spend a beautiful Shabbos by my brother in Cincinnati with Far, and it was really a beautiful event. So just one thought about the share that I gave, which is what I had put down. We're told at the beginning of the parsha that Noach was an Ish Tzadik, he was Tamim, and he was a Selakimet Halech Noach. The Rabbeinu Bachya explains that when someone is a Tzadik, that means that he was opposite of Hamas. Hamas, interestingly enough, is mentioned in this week's parsha alone. And Varat Malei Hamas, wow, lot to be said about that. But I wanted to focus on the fact that Hamas is also the Gematria Gehenim, which is from the Baal HaTorim. I thought that was interesting to note, because they unleashed their Gehenim onto, sadly, onto us. And then, of course, you know, we all felt quite despondent, and we felt hopeless and helpless. But we know that a tzaddik, interestingly enough, is tzaddik Moshe b'yiras Elokim. A tzaddik governs through his fear of Hashem. Hashem then asks, "Mi Moshe be, who governs over me?" Tzaddik. And the word be, mi Moshe be, Beis Yisrael refers to, is that who governs over Beis Yisrael? The tzaddik governs over Beis Yisrael, because tzaddik goes there, Akash Bokas Makayim. But does this mean that when a tzaddik says something, that he's able to overturn the will of Hashem? No. It means that he's able to push sometimes the direction, but the sof kol sof might be the same, but it might have a totally different outcome depending on how the tzaddik davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how the tzaddik communicates with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the tzaddik is the opposite of Hamas. It's the opposite of spirituality in terms, two different sides of the paradigm, two different sides of the pendulum. And then when we talk about Tamim, we talk about Noach Ish Tzaddik Tamim, that we say that in terms of physical appearance, he was tamim, meaning he was pure. He was he had no physical defects, as we say by para aduma tamima, asha'in bo mum, does not have any defects. So Noah himself was really the quintessential person. And the Rabbeinu Bachya puts the two together, that if you have tzaddik, who is someone who is operating on a high spiritual level, together with someone who is tamim, who is pure, who is exact, he was shalem, the gufo, then as Elokimus Halech Noach, he was able to walk in the path of Hashem. And this, for us, we have to now explain how is it that Noach, who had all of these elements, which is the most loftiest of descriptions that the Torah could ever describe, a human being, was a mamin vein a mamin, that it says in the pasuk that he only entered the Teva Mipnei Me'amavol because of the waters of the flood. You mean to tell me, is it to suggest that he wasn't able to go into the Teva on his own volition after 120 years of banging nails into wood? He wasn't able to know that he had to get onto that Teva. And you know what? It's very similar to the doctor that says to take the medicine. It's very similar. And the person says, nah, I lived all these years without taking this medicine. So what, you know, my heart's fine, my cholesterol's fine, all these things, it's all, you're just trying to scare me, a scare tactic. I understand, but those things happen to other people. If the lawyer says, sign the document, he says, well, you know, I don't really need to, I've already accomplished a great deal. You know, I don't need necessarily to sign a document in order to show proof of ownership. So the person may be lax, and, you know, all of these things are precursors to something much loftier, something much bigger. And when a person doesn't take the necessary precautions, then all things start to fail around him. So in the case of Noach, he felt that although he was instructed to do this work, he didn't really believe that it would happen, because maybe it was a social exercise. Maybe the world will do tshuva. Maybe I'm no better than everybody else who's walking around the earth. Maybe I'm just an average person, and I don't see in myself the ability to affect change. But that wasn't who Noach was. Hashem said, I gave you special koach, and you didn't really follow through at all. In fact, afterwards, the Medrash brings down, the Medrash Rabbah brings down a quick story that Noach is sitting on a perch of a mountain, and he's after the flood, and he starts to cry. And Hashem says, "Why are you crying?" He says, "All these people, they're all gone. I don't know what happened. I says, I know what happened, but I can't believe that they're all gone." Hashem says, "You're crying now. If you would have cried earlier, perhaps the entire generation would have been saved." And so therefore, operating under Midas Elokim is very, very difficult. And it's proof in the pudding that Noah was unable, and the world for that matter, to sustain itself through Midas Elokim. And so therefore, when we think about the failure of Noah, we have to understand that it says the word Noah twice. And the Kedushas Levi and many on the Mefarshim explained that Noah had to come back into this world as a Gilgal in the form of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because, as the Medrash says, the second Aruch Chaim in this week's Parsha brings down a story that Noach met up with Moshe, and he says, "Moshe, ani gadol mimecha, I'm greater than you are." And it's very odd, because why would these two people be speaking to each other? And Moshe responds that, "Ata yitzalta, you saved your entire family, but I saved my entire generation through water." So Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the world, and he's given the name Moshe. Why? Ki min hamayim mishisiyu. From the water you were saved. So at the very beginning, we already know. And the middle of Moshe's life, we know the climactic, epic moment of Kriyas Yam Tov, where Moshe Rabbeinu splits the sea, splits the water. And then at the very end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, we have the Mei Meriba, the troubled waters, where Moshe hit the rock and then was unable to enter into Eretz Yisrael as a result. And so the beginning, middle, and end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life all revolved around water. And when the Klai Yisrael fell and they were practicing the Egel Azav, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that there was that Klai Yisrael was at a precipice and they needed to be able to defend the Jewish people. So what did he say? He said that if you desire to destroy, God forbid, the Jewish people, then erase me from your holy book. Both Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu were told the same exact phrase, statement by Hashem, which was, "Vakimosi esprisi itach, I will establish a new covenant with you." And with with Noach, you hear the sound of silence. You don't hear anything. And with Moshe Rabbeinu, you hear an impassioned plea of Wad Hashem Hashem Karach Mechanan, Erech Apayim Erech Chesav Emes, that Hashem, you didn't take us out of Mitzrayim in order to kill us in the desert. You're a merciful God. So Moshe Rabbeinu evoked another element, another name, another facet of Hashem. That yes, there was a time when it was Elokim, and now, thanks to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was able to rectify it and pacify HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent that what does Hashem say? As we say in Yom Kippur, "Vayom Hashem, Salachti Kivarecha." What does that teach us? Teaches us that our religion is not something that is in the heart. Our religion is something that comes through dibor. Our religion is something that comes through masa. Our religion is something that comes through machshava. And when we have all these three acting in unison, when we have our speech, our actions, our thoughts, all propelled into one direction of service and avodas Hashem, then that's how we positively effect change. So Noach, the failure of Noach, was really the success of Moshe and the success of Am Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, and Torah Yisrael. And sadly, we went through a very horrific experience on October 7th, which will go down in Israel's history as the most awful day. But at the same time, it was a time when it is a time, and we hope it lasts forever, that all of Klal Yisrael has never been more united in helping one another. In fact, when the war broke out, nobody knew what to do. Everybody was trying to leave. And now, just recently last week, there was a Nefesh B'Nefesh flight that went into Eretz Yisrael. There are countless folks that are returning, and the Shavu Banam Mezulam, everyone is trying to come back into Eretz Yisrael. And we're hoping, God willing, that we should only know and hear of the Surah Tovah going forward. That's really a recap on Parshas Noach, the Noach in each of us. We all believe that in some respect we cannot affect change, because we're just acting on an individual level, but we should recognize that we might actually be tzaddikim, and we may not even know it. So we or to Kaniyos and all the women on our shir as well, to Kaniyos and tzaddikis, Why? Because we feel that we are not able to make a change in the world for the better, but yet we can. We can inspire other people. We can bring people closer to Torah. We can do chesed. We can bake challah. We can say a mishaberach. We can say tefillot. We can say tehillim. We can send countless, equipment. We can make donations to Magen David Adom, to Leket Israel, to Merkaz Panim, to you name it. There are countless dozens and dozens and dozens of organizations that could use our help. And it's up to us to decide how to allocate the funds. And it could be $5, it could be $500, it could be a lot more, it could be a lot less. It doesn't matter. You give a lot, you give a little, it doesn't matter as long as your intention is there. In fact, our intention is so there that LL announced last week that they cannot digest all of the equipment, the duffel bags that people are sending over. They just can't seem to have the logistical operation set up in a way that is able to help themselves efficiently distribute all of the equipment that Klal Yisrael is sending over from the United States, Canada, and European countries, and all over the world for that matter. So, Ashracha Yisrael, Mi Chamocha, Am Nosei Ba'Hashem. We are operating under Gur Aryeh Yehuda. We are Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. And this is our core strength of why? Because we are, after all, the Gemara says in Yevamah Saf Ayin Zayin, Rachmanim Baishanim and Gomel Chasadim. We are merciful people. We are people that are easily embarrassed. And we are people that are involved in Chasad. And that's how we should look at ourselves, as people that can affect change, people that turn the tide of the war through love and kindness and through measures of peace, so that our enemies will see that they are not defeating us, they are uniting us, they're making us stronger, and through our strength, we will persevere, we will grow, and we will, God willing, hear many happy news coming out of Eretz Yisrael very shortly. Just one quick thought on Parshas Lech Lecha. We know that Avraham Avinu had to leave, and the reason why was because he was thrown into the Kibshon HaEish. And whether some people are able to digest such a story or not, we know that Avraham Avinu understood that it was time for him to move on. And it's so interesting. I'll just leave you with one thought before we continue into the next week, is that we say in the first pasuk of Tehillim, Asher Yesh Asher Lo Alach Be'atzah Tushar Mederach HaTayim Lo Amad, V'motzav Leitzim Lo Yoshav, Kiyim B'Torah Hashem Chatzor, V'Torah Lo Yaga Yomam B'Layla. This refers, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar explains, that Shlomo HaMelech, who wrote Mishlei, and David HaMelech, who had written Tehillim, this first pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech had written is a reference to Avraham Avinu, that he recognized that in his community, people were Moshav Leitzim. They were not engaged in the Avodas Hashem. And he understood that his atmosphere affects him personally. And in order for him to grow, in order for him to shine, he has to be able to branch out and find himself. And that meant leaving. And when he left, he was able to find all the things that he thought he would lack. By God, the bracha that Avraham Avinu was able to go into another land. And that's really reminiscent or symbolic of every Jew, that we all have a journey in life. And sometimes we have no idea how life will take us from one neighborhood to another neighborhood. Nobody could imagine how and where they would end up living, in the house in which they would be living in, and the community in which they are contributing toward and helping grow. It's all really Bidei Shemayim. But whenever we find ourselves in that mode of transition, we have to look for opportunities in order that we should be able to grow in our commitment to Torah Amidos in Yerushalayim. And that's exactly what Avraham Avinu represents. Because once he got there, Vayita Eshel, he built a tree, which Chazal say is an acronym for Achila, Shtia, Lina, and Lezia. I can go on, but I'll just try to close out with this one last thought. Avraham Avinu opened his doors on all four sides, and all he asked in return is that people wash themselves from the idolatry that they had practiced moments earlier. After eating and drinking, most people get a little exhausted and tired, and they need a place to sleep. and then afterwards he escorted them. We learn from Avraham Avinu many things, but one of the most interesting things that we learn is the mitzvah of levia, the mitzvah to walk a guest out of the door. Because when you walk a guest out of the door, you show that they are chavdiv to you, that they are special and dear to you. And if God forbid that there is a murderer or someone who's trying to commit harm to an individual, they will think twice. Why? Because they will understand that they cannot get to the Ari Miklat soon enough, that there are goli hadam, there are relatives that will seek them out and find them. And this is really symbolic of today, right? Klal Yisrael is at a war, and we need all the yeshuas that we can find. And so Avraham Avinu taught us the mitzvah of levosam, to walk at our guests in order to protect them. Just want to share one final story that when I was in Eretz Yisrael, I had this chus of spending Shabbos, many Shabbosim, by Rav Zalman Brizol, who was the Mor Das of Geula in the early 90s. He was the former Chabrusa of Shach, of Panovich Yeshiva, and he was a very big tzaddik, and when I would visit, he would walk me out on Rehov Ten Amos in Geula, and then as soon as I walked out with him, I tried to walk the Rebbe back, and this became like a comic scene, because as I walked the Rebbe back, he turned around and said, Mordechai, it's time to go. And then he would walk me a second time out into the street. And then out kibbutz, I would walk the Rebbe back. And then he would say, Mordechai, I'm going to close my eyes. You can go. But that's how Chaviv, he kept the mitzvah. He was in his 90s. He was 4'11", didn't weigh more than 90 pounds. But mitzvahs like these, which are so easy to just not do, not practice them, are so Chaviv than like precious pearls with tzaddikim. So I want to give everybody the bracha that we should, that, you know, this week, if we have people that come to our homes and they visit for whatever reason, or if they come to you for Shabbos, make sure in the course of Avraham Avinu, who introduced us to the concept of levia, we should walk out our folks and make them feel special and chaviv, that they came to your home and now you are walking them out of your home. And in that course, they should be protected. All Klal Yisrael should feel protected. And that we should never have an issue of where we have to be concerned about Goli Hadam and all of those other things that permeate with that storyline. So I just wanted to wish everyone bracha b'atzlacha. Klal Yisrael should have a Yeshua. All those that are in need, a refuah. And every Haman, a gezuntah taliyah. And we should only know b'tzuras tovas going forward.